There are certain dates which are firmly etched in people's minds. The first of which, it seems safe to say, is the date of one's birth. Secondly, perhaps at least for Christians, is December 25th, Christmas. If one is married, perhaps an anniversary date is right up there. For Americans, the 4th of July is an especially familiar date. And for Americans who are employed, there's also April 15th. Today, it's here, deadline, taxes due by midnight. Unlike one's birthday, Christmas, or the 4th of July, however, it's likely that there aren't a whole lot of parties planned for this evening. Etched in the mind, though it is, April 15th doesn't tend to be viewed as a day of celebration. The weightiness of paying taxes was impressed upon me at an early age. It was during a music lesson in junior high, if I recall this correctly, that the teacher directed one of the students to do something, and the student responded with, you know, the response, "Do I have to?" And the teacher dryly responded, as I recall, "All you have to do is die and pay taxes, but I'd like you to," whatever it was. Dying and paying taxes in the same sentence, neither of which tend to be high on the average list of desirables. How helpful it is to learn from the scriptures, therefore, that the one who removed all reason to fear the first, death, is also the one who gives us everything that we need to get comfortable with the idea of the second, paying taxes. In Romans 13, the Lord's apostle wrote, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Something inside of us tends to resist the idea of paying taxes. And part of that something, I suppose, is just the innate sense that you want to hold on to something that you earned and worked for. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord himself referred to the payment of taxes as something that would be burdensome. Back when the children of Israel insisted on having a king so that they could be like their neighbors, God told them that if they really wanted a king would impose taxes. He warned, "He, the king, will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage. He will take a tenth of your sheep." And of course, that's what happened. Another part of that something inside that tends to resist the idea of paying taxes is also just that carnal desire to hold on to the things of this world. Our old flesh likes to cling to our money, operating under that delusion that money provides the shortest route to peace and happiness. But in the face of such resistance, the Lord comes and very simply and flatly says, "No, you are to pay taxes to whom taxes are due." Why? For starters, it serves as a useful exercise in loosening our grip on worldly goods. Perhaps the Lord uses the necessity of paying taxes to underscore the folly of clinging to our earthly wealth, to money, which soon will devaluate completely and be destroyed along with everything else in the world when the Lord returns. But the payment of taxes also benefits us as members of a society. It's all a part of the Lord's very wise and grand plan for providing civil stability. Simply put, our payment of taxes supports the government which the Lord has put in place for the purpose of securing and retaining law and order. the small percentage of our income that we're required to give to the government buys, in a sense, something which is really priceless, an environment in which evil is punished and good activities are rewarded. Luther, who apparently spent quite a bit of time studying and thinking about the role of government, wrote, "When a prince so rules his people that he does not permit injustice to be done to anyone and punishes transgressors, he does well and is praised. For in the area of government, this is the rule. Pay what thou owest. If not, thou shalt be cast into prison." We must have that sort of government. But one does not get to heaven in this way, nor is the world saved thereby. However, it is necessary to keep the world from becoming worse. It is merely a protection against and a check of wickedness. But what if the government itself is what's wicked? The pages of history are filled with individuals who have been corrupted by power or who have sought power from poor motives. Pay taxes to people such as those? Yes, even to those. Again, Luther, God certainly wants government, princes, and lords to exist no matter who they are and how they are, and we are not to ask whether they have and occupy the rulership and government justly or unjustly. One must only consider power and government as such. These are good, for they are ordained and established by God. Romans 13:1. You dare not berate government when you are oppressed at times by princes and tyrants, and because they misuse the power which they have of God. They will certainly have to give an account of their actions. So we must also bear the power of the prince. If he misuses his power, I should for this reason not bear him ill will or avenge the misuse on him or actually punish it. One must obey him for God's sake, for he stands in the place of God. No matter how intolerably they may tax, they are to be obeyed, and everything is to be borne for God's sake. So, pay taxes to whom taxes are due? Yes. And even more. Paul actually raises the bar even higher in this section of Romans, pointing out that what's really desired is not just the external compliance with the law, grudgingly handing over the amount that's due to the government, but to do so with a honoring attitude. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Since those who govern us are the representatives of God himself, and since those who govern us have been put into their positions by the one who gave up everything in our stead, we should certainly convey to those representatives that they can expect our respect. When it's time to think about the IRS, therefore, think about IHS, Jesus. He willingly lived the most taxing life of all, paying the steepest possible price in order to set us eternally free. Since he is now the one who directs us to support the government through our taxes, the response of the faithful is to do one's part willingly, freely, honorably. April 15th, an opportunity to show the response of faith, which prays, "Here, beneath a peaceful sway, may we cheerfully obey, never feel oppression's rod, ever own and worship God." Hymn 584.